Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What lies ahead for the television medium as 2022 unfolds? What new programming, networks, applications, and technology will you watch and use? What role will TV play in however the metaverse goes from possibility to reality? New York City Media Lab Executive Director Steve Rosenbaum has answers when he joins me next. Also ahead, all systems go with CES 2022 and some words in honor of John Madden. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, Reason, and Apple Podcasts. This just in on the final day of 2021. Tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. And for a limited time, if you want to go right to a subscription, it's $5.95 a month for your first 3 months, way off the regular price. All the details coming up later in the program. On this final Friday and final day of 2021, it's 51 degrees at the top of the hour, and we welcome you to the latest edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. Great guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. Let's get interactive, shall we? Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're texting, across the country or around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And as always, we have a chat room in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions of TV Live with you. Steve Rosenbaum, the Executive Director of NYC Media Lab, joins me here in the Big Apple after our final round of news notes for 2021. Thousands of people are go to spend the first full week of 2022 in Las Vegas for CES, the annual consumer technology spectacle. It's unclear how big the turnout will be for the first in-person CES in 2 years. Despite Omicron variant issues, which have provoked many major TV and tech companies with dropping their in-person plans, CES organizers affirm more than 2,200 companies will exhibit in Las Vegas. Smart TV set makers, including Samsung, Sony, and LG, are expected to detail new smart models and features during a round of press conferences next Tuesday. And just in the last half hour, CES has announced that the in-person run of the event will be reduced to 3 days, Wednesday through Friday. And that means all those press conferences scheduled for Tuesday and a couple of events scheduled for Monday will now be virtual or be postponed. We'll keep you posted on Monday's show if any breaking news develops. Once again, CES is a go for next week in Las Vegas, with more than 2,200 companies expected to exhibit. Now our final round of quickies for the year. TNT will inherit the NHL Winter Classic, presenting the game formerly carried by NBC Live tomorrow afternoon. WWE is set to offer its first ever New Year's Day event. Day one, Peacock, will carry day one live. And yes, there will be a Turn of Roses parade live from Pasadena, California tomorrow morning. ABC, NBC, RFG TV, and Hallmark Drama will carry the parade live in English, Univision in Spanish. And that is our wrap on news notes for 2021. And now joining me here in the Big Apple with some thoughts about TV 2022, the Executive Director of the NYC Media Lab, Steve Rosenbaum. Steve, happy holidays to you and your gang.
Hey, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. Let's get right to it, Steve. How do you see TV 222 shaping up? Or 2022
so it's a big question.
Shaping up, I should say.
So it's a big question, and, you know, even your listeners who are TV mavens in their own right and deep, you know, thanks to you, have a visibility into kind of this journey we're all on, could be a little bit flummoxed at the moment. And I've been struggling, you know, one of the things that year-end gives you is a chance to look back at the year, look forward, make some predictions. And so I did a lot of reading over the last couple of weeks. And here's the thing that's puzzling, and I think I've got the answer. You know, on one hand, you know, it's a little like red wine. Depending on what news you read, red wine is either good for you or bad for you. Depending on what you read online, web video is either getting bigger or smaller. TVs are all going to become 50-inch, 60-inch, 70-inch massive flat screens, or they're going to be held in your hand on a new iPhone. And the answer to your listeners, and you don't feel bad if you don't understand this, is both. And, Simon, I got to ask you, when you find yourself watching TV now, Are you always watching a screen? Are you watching a big screen or a little screen? Or be honest, do you sometimes find you're watching both at the same time?
A big smart TV screen.
But and never with your phone in your hand?
No.
So my experience is, you know, I'm watching a lot of movies. Increasingly, I'm getting them on my phone and then streaming them to my smart screen, which is a little puzzling. And I think part of what's happened, and the technology has gotten so ubiquitous that small screens in your hand do one kind of thing, big screens on the wall do something very different, and sometimes you want to do both. And similarly, when it comes to length, I mean, I've, in the last 4 days, watched The Beatles 8 hours on Disney Plus. I mean, who would have ever guessed you'd watch an 8-hour documentary? But I watched all 8 hours in a row, well, over 2 days. And at the same time, I'm increasingly watching a lot of TikTok, which is, you know, 3 minutes or less. So what I would say to your listeners is, if you think that 2022 is going to either be about bigger screens or smaller screens, longer shows or shorter shows, the answer is both.
Well, one of the things that strikes me going into this year, Steve, is that the majority of people in this country now have smart TV sets and smart devices, and now a growing majority of those sets now have artificial intelligence voice built in, which allows you to use Siri or Alexa or Google Assistant, whatever, without a smart speaker, a separate smart speaker, but the ability to use it through the television set to watch and use the way you want to with the set. And it begs the question, have we finally seen the smoking gun to make interactive television bust loose next year?
All right. You know, it's a fair question. I, you know, like a lot of your listeners, you know, 2021, didn't do any traveling, didn't go to any conferences, didn't go on vacation, didn't rent a hotel room, didn't rent a car. I mean, a little bit, but not really. And so all of a sudden, this money that generally I spend on vacations and travel and other things was now sitting in my bank account. So I was like, you know what? Time to buy a new TV. And by the way, you may disagree with me here. I bought both a Samsung and I bought an LG. And side by side, this is my somewhat expert. The LG was an LED, and the Samsung was not. Long and short of it is, the LG was dramatically better. Dramatically better. The colors were better. The quality was better. The sound was better. And so I've used the audio, you know, choose a channel feature a little bit. But honestly, you know, I think the way that I'm interacting with the TV, like, for example, the LG has a pointer, has a digital pointer, which I like a lot. I'm not sure that it's going to be interactive through voice, but I'd be willing to see what 2022 brings. That being said, though, you know, everyone is battling to own you as a customer. So I have Roku on both of my TVs, but I'm not going to lie, the LG interface is pretty great, and increasingly I've got apps that are on my Samsung that are also on the LG TV, and I think LG is nosing out ahead, and increasingly the only reason I have to keep my Roku is it's how I get my Spectrum TV app. There isn't currently a Spectrum TV app for the LG screen. But if they had one, I don't know, Roku might lose.
We're going to talk more about Roku because they've been doing some things lately, and so has Amazon and some of the other smart TV set makers that may make you wonder if this is coming the year of interactive TV breakthrough. We are speaking with Steve Rosenbaum. He is the executive director of the NYC Media Lab. He joins me here in the Big Apple on our final Smart TV Televised episode of 2022. Happy to have you with us, Simon Applebaum here with you. If you have a question or comment for Steve, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up on Monday, a big 90-minute opener of 2022. We first up will be the executive producer of CNBC's popular unscripted series, American Greed, which on Wednesday begins its 15th season, and the following Wednesday has its 200th episode. Executive producer Mike West will join us live. And then reset from early this week, Doug Holloway, the former NBC Universal executive and Ion Media executive. He is now the chief executive officer and co-founder of UKW Media, which has put three new channels, multicultural oriented, on Roku and on Amazon and other places to come. Two of those networks he's got direct responsibility for, called Urban TV and a venture we did not know about until we had his other co-founder, Judy Kim, on this program Monday, called G-Pop Television, short for Gamer Pop Television. He will be with us on Monday. And finally, from NBC's popular series, American Ninja Warrior, we'll have executive producer Brian Richardson and one of the upcoming contestants on the next season, former NFL player Anthony Trucks. It's all coming up Monday, a big opener to kick off your 2022 right here at 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Tomorrow Be Televised. You know, Steve, Roku has been doing quite a bit this year in the area of interactive television. They started Food Network Kitchen in May. They also have run casual games on the network. And then 2 months ago, they gave developers an interactive kit to develop applications. Are you getting a sense that Roku and also some of the other smart TV set and product makers are going to lean into interactive television? We've got interactive fitness services, mentioned LG. They just launched a fitness channel. Peloton is now on TV sets. So is Beachbody. You've got gaming like Google Stadia, Apple Arcade on TV sets. You're just getting the sense that more and more that interactivity is becoming the way to go for viewers on television.
I think you have to define what interactivity means. Is the TV doing something and I'm participating? For sure. Is it a conversation with other users that are live? Perhaps. I mean, you know, Peloton, you know, absolutely is driven by the fact that you're riding that bike, but you're not alone. You know, does the Peloton channel on your TV have the same experience as the one on your bike? I think the thing that really, Simon, it comes down to is, what does the audience want? And this, you know, this is maybe the elephant in the room we should talk about. I mean, COVID is terrible. There is nobody that wishes that COVID happened, and we're anxious to see it resolved, and the latest, you know, spikes are even more terrible. That being said, everyone being at home, working at home, watching more TV, going out less, going to the movies less, has certainly accelerated whatever the phenomenon of, you know, the TV everywhere experience. And I think, you know, maybe it would have happened inevitably, but for example, you know, I think I've been to the movie theater in the last year two times, and I'm glad I went both times. They were films that I wanted to see on a big screen, but I'm staying home more, and I've, you know, I replaced an old 5.2 surround sound system with a 7.1. And it sounds spectacular, and the screen is gorgeous. And, you know, it's a, you know, it will be, I'll be hard-pressed to go back to the theaters. Now, having said that, I haven't seen The Matrix yet, so we'll see how that goes. And I haven't seen Spider-Man yet, so.
Well, let me point this out. It seems also that going into next year, the smart TV set makers and device makers are now becoming not just content carriers, they're becoming content makers. Vizio is creating television channels that may be distributed to other smart TV products. LG is now creating channels. Roku is creating television shows, and it may be creating interactive applications. And now we're also seeing some of the multi-channel bundles that they're carrying, like Fubo TV, like Pluto TV, like Tubi, owned by Fox and so forth. They're making original programming. Are you getting the sense also that smart TV makers are becoming content makers, whether it's channels or shows?
I would say yes, but I would put one caveat next to that, which is, you know, when you sit down to watch your television, for example, on my big LG screen, there's an enormous number of choices within the LG free vertical. But I don't know that I need, you know, in order for me to go outside of Amazon, HBO, Netflix, Hulu, you know, Paramount Plus, et cetera, to go to a new service that's branded LG, I have to be pretty much out of choices. And at this point, I've got plenty of choices, you know, with my subscriptions. Now, we'll talk about subscriptions in a minute because I think there's some interesting changes on the horizon there. But for sure, everyone wants to be in the content. No one wants to be a dumb device. No one wants to be you know, a device that doesn't add value. And I think that the challenge is, how do you make something so noticeable and impressive that it breaks through the noise and people say, I'm not going to watch Netflix, instead I'm going to watch LG TV.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to content, these mega content services, whether it's what I call the first generation Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, Topic, the second generation, all the plus services from Paramount Plus to HBO Max to BET Plus to Prime TV on Univision, what changes do you foresee this coming year for that bunch?
So we don't know what the outer edge of consumer adoption is. We don't know what the number is at which people say, okay, I've had enough. I will say that, you know, when I look at my cable bill and then I look at my Netflix, Amazon, HBO, et cetera, bill, at some point there's a hard decision you have to make, which is, do you really, you know, what do I need and what can I do without? And, you know, the answer is, you know, if I told you that your annual bill for television was $1,000 a year, you'd have to do the math, but you'd find out it is. If I told you it was $2,000 a year, that's a lot of money. If I said to you it's $3,000 a year, you might say, you know, I should cut back a little bit. And so the question is, where will people hit the outer edge, and will some of the services that want your $2 a month, whether that be, you know, Paramount Plus is struggling, they're trying to break in. You know, everybody, all these networks have one big breakout show. And, you know, that was always the thing. If you go back to the olden days of HBO, the thing about HBO was always to reduce churn, to reduce that $13 a month cancellation, you'd have to have a hit show that people couldn't do without. And as people have gone from releasing episodes weekly to releasing them in a bundle, it becomes harder to keep people addicted to paying your monthly fee.
Do you see a mega content service breaking loose this year in terms of either in profile or in the volume or the quality of shows they come out with, whether it's Netflix or Apple TV Plus, which I think had a very good year this year, given shows like Schmigadoon and Invasion and Foundation, plus great second season of shows like Central Park and For All Mankind, which has made many 10 best lists?
Apple's an interesting puzzle, because as a company, if you've ever worked for Apple, and I've made apps that have gone through the App Store, I mean, getting something on their platform is a massively hard thing to do. And I know that if you Google, there's lots of producers that are unhappy about the experience of working for Apple, because, you know, they want to be a mass distribution network, but they also at the same time are very concerned about, you know, language and family friendly and all these things. And so, for example, you know, The Morning Show, which I liked on and off. I mean, I'm a TV guy, so I liked seeing a show about it. But there were moments when you could just feel the creative team being told, nope, I know you want to say that, but you can't say that. And, you know, I think, and I have no data, I'm not speaking with inside information, but given the amount of cash Apple has, I do not understand why in 2022 it's not buying Netflix.
In a moment, I'll ask Steve Rosenbaum about the metaverse and what role TV can play in it starting next year, and also some thoughts about what show or series he's looking forward to watching. We'll exchange some thoughts about that next year, too. Steve Rosenbaum is the executive director of the New York City Media Lab. He joins me here in the Big Apple this half hour on our final Tomorrow Be Televised episode of 2021 as we get ready to ring in a brand new year. Happy year long for the ride, too. Simon Applebaum with you, 51 degrees at the top of the hour. You have the question or comment, remaining moments with Steve. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday, first Friday of 2022 on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have the three executive producers behind the brand new CBS medical and relationship drama, Good Sam. Katie Welsh, Jenny Snyder-Ullman, Joanna Klein, they'll all be with us. Good Sam premieres this coming week on CBS. And we'll have one of the executive producers of Dirty Jobs, which this Sunday night returns with Mike Rowe as the host on Discovery Channel. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. The metaverse, what role can TV play in it?
Well, you know, It's a good question. You have to first decide what the metaverse is. I mean, does the metaverse require you to wear a completely opaque helmet? Is Facebook really going to end up, running it? You're getting my bet. My bet for 2022 is the year that Apple comes out with AR glasses. And I think that the metaverse is going to be AR before it's VR, augmented reality before virtual. You've used the word TV for as long as I've known you. And, Simon, the truth of the matter is that the definition of that word has changed a lot, right, since it began. It used to be rabbit ears, and a big fat tube. And then it became, cable TV and a big fat tube. And then it became cable TV and a flatter screen. And then it became a phone. And so is the idea that there will become a time when you can climb into a live video experience and participate in it? I would say yes.
Mm-hmm. Why I think TV does have a role to play is two things. First of all, Facebook, now Meta, does have a way for the TV to run the metaverse. It's called Portal TV. And for the last 2+ years, they've been offering it. It's a TV where you can do video chat on the television set, but more importantly, you can do augmented reality and virtual worlds on the set. We know of a company called Genvid Technologies, which Cindy Holland, the former key executive at Netflix, programming executive, is now advising. We've had the chief executive on our show several times, where you can put a virtual world on the television set. And they are very excited about that possibility. And they did with a project called Rival Peak, which was a sort of amazing race kind of game. It was virtual characters, and the consumer could manipulate the characters through the television set. So it can be done. It's surprising to me, by the way, that Facebook does not, that Meta and Mark Zuckerberg doesn't talk about that in his metaverse conversation. The second thing is, I think the question is, will virtual reality in terms of a headset or glasses be the way? I'm not a fan of virtual reality headsets. I think they have been a bomb for the most part. I don't know how to become a mass medium. I think the glasses, I think, is one way, but I think the TV set is the way you're going to get a mass market for metaverse, because you can put virtual worlds on the set. And you have 360 video also, which we know can be done too on the television set. So I'm just saying that I think TV has a role to play. How big a role, I don't know, but if it's going beyond all virtual realities of the headset, it will not work.
You probably know this data. What's the average size of a flat screen? What's the mean average size of a flat screen being sold today?
Is it 60 inches? I would say a range between 40 or 45 and 55, 60.
So we had a 43 that I bought this summer, and we thought it was too small. And I put it up just to sell it, put it up on Craigslist, and the responses were – almost universally, too small, people said, too small. Mm-hmm. And they wanted 55 or bigger. And that surprised me. I didn't think of it as small, but I guess I did because I got rid of it. I think you're certainly raising the right question, which is when you're talking about, if you think about the movie Fahrenheit 451, at the point at which your living room walls are screens, big enough that they kind of wrap around your peripheral vision, then all of a sudden you're in the story. You're not, you're not watching a frame on the wall. You're watching something that wraps around your head a little bit. So, you're certainly right that headgear has been a disaster. I mean, if ever there was anything, I don't know about you, but every meeting I've done for the last 2 years has been on some version of Zoom or, one of those things. The number of times that I've been asked if I could do a meeting with some kind of VR environment, zero times. As the head of the media lab, we use some interactive community software that I really like called Oyay, which is built by Snap, but nobody's asking me to put on a helmet to come to a meeting, nobody.
And by the way, it's interesting that in the last couple of months, Zoom has become a smart TV feature on a number of smart TV products.
I didn't know that. How does that work?
Well, The folks at Zoom, they have figured it out with like LG and I think a couple of other smart TV models. They haven't publicized it a lot, and yes, it's happening. Hmm. So I would say Zoom is one of the things you got to keep an eye out for, by the way, in the coming year. Yeah. Let me ask you, before we get into what series or shows you're looking forward to seeing next year, is there a technology or a company? Let's swap opinions here. Is there a technology or a company that you think we should keep, that may be under the radar screen, that we should keep an eye out for because of its impact on TV next year?
All right, let's start with technology. I think what's happening in artificial intelligence is incredibly important. And it doesn't make its way into the consumer press much. But, for example, the Media Lab is involved with the Knight Foundation and the Associated Press and Columbia University and AI Now, Partnership for AI, we're doing a multi-year project in how AI is impacting local news and the potential way it, and, you know, local news is incredibly important. It's expensive to produce. It's complicated. And it has been hammered by the shift from print to digital. I think AI is the thing you have to watch because it's the thing that stair-steps dramatic change. So, you know, yeah, and this gets back to, you know, we've known each other a long time. This gets back to a word that I've used in my career over a couple of iterations. The word is curation. I mean, I find it very hard. You know, the best way that I find shows is because my friend Simon says, hey, Steve, have you watched XYZ? And I go, no, I haven't. And then I'll go and tune in for a minute or two and be like, wow, that's great. And I'll just give you a perfect example. I'm a subscriber to a lot of TV services. I read everything. I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I knew nothing about Murder in the Building. Nothing. Hadn't heard of it. Friend of mine says, have you seen Murder in the Building? I hadn't seen it. I tune it in. It's fantastic. And that I am looking forward to. But it, the fact that there was no recommendation engine that could figure out something about, I like murder mysteries, I like comedy, I'm on the Upper West Side. Like that should have been an artificial intelligence home run thing. Hey, Steve, here are five shows that your friends are watching that we think you might like. And, that, you know, that's been on the verge of happening for as long as I can remember. I mean, Netflix spent a lot of time trying to get recommendations right. They seem to have kind of folded their tent on that. But I think recommendation technology is going to be the thing that I pay attention to because, you know, people, the one thing that you know, that you and I have is, we get up in the morning, we do our jobs, we have work to do. We only have so much time to watch television, and the volume of potentially good things relative to the amount of time we have really needs to be solved with technology.
Yeah. By the way, just to keep the Hulu people happy, the name of the show is Only Murders in the Building, and I totally get you. It's a wonderful series. It's definitely one of the top 10 new shows to come out this year, and I think it's going to be an Emmy contender next year.
I have trouble keeping track of the title of that show. I'm not sure why. But in any case, it's shot about three blocks from my house.
For me, I would say the technology to watch is blockchain and cryptocurrency. I think these technologies are poised to, A, get more fund, more new series, fund new networks, maybe even fund interactive ventures and new technology ventures. I think the two of them combined, along with NFTs, which have really taken off this year, could do a lot for the future of the TV industry 2022 and beyond. And in terms of new companies, I would keep an eye on two things. One is called Binge. They're trying to be the Netflix, the mega content service for gamers. They want to do scripted, unscripted, and interactive programming. They want to come out the first half of next year. It's a story under the radar screen, but people in the know, particularly in the gaming world, are looking forward to seeing this break loose. And the other venture I would think about is Black Tag. We've covered this before. It's a company trying to be the YouTube and Netflix for African Americans. They were supposed to come out on television this year. They have come out on smartphones, and the application is going to convert to smart TV sets and devices in the next 6 to 9 months. We saw them at an event here in New York at WarnerMedia, and we'll see what happens. But this is another company to watch out for. Let me get a quick break in, Steve, for WebID, and then I want to get your thoughts about the new shows coming out next year that you are definitely want to see. We'll have more with Steve Rosenbaum from NYC Media after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget tonight, DTR brings you Happy New Year Special. That's tonight, very entertaining, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 8:30 p.m. Pacific. Happy New Year Special from Blog Talk Radio tonight, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best feature on 24/7 at YouTube.com. Steve Rosenbaum back with us from the NYC Media Lab. Tommy, I'm with you live from New York. Final half hour of our final Swabby Televised episode for 2021. So, Steve, there's a lot of content going to be coming out next year. What are the shows that you're looking forward to seeing?
You know, it's funny. I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm always hesitant to recommend shows, in part just because I have pretty eclectic taste. I tend to be more of a movie watcher. That being said, you know, I jump around. I mean, I watch a lot of science fiction. I'm, you know, midway through the season, they're rolling out the additional episodes of The Expanse, which is, for listeners who've not watched it, you know, amazing and brilliant. And you can start at the beginning and it'll fill up your COVID, confines for the better part of the first quarter. I'm watching more on Prime TV than I have in the past. I'm not subscribing. I'm not paying for much other than what's already on Netflix or HBO. I think some of the series that I like are probably nearing the jump the shark phase. So I'm not, you know, I'm nervous about, you know, for example, the Ozarks final season. I'm fingers crossed, but you know, a lot of what happens in these multi-year shows that are dramatic is, you know, the writer's room kind of falls apart after year three or four, and they just try and be more outrageous. So I guess I wish some of these shows had a little bit more of a natural end to them. Anything else? I'm watching a little bit of network television. I'm still watching a lot of news. And documentary for sure, long form documentary. But I guess the thing I would say is, you know, I just by way of example, I'm puzzled by the phenomenon known as Squid Games. I mean, how did that break out? I mean, no known actors, not really native English language speakers, a little socially a little bit out of kilter. I mean, violent, so maybe that's it, the violence, so people watched it. But, it just broke out, and now they're doing another season, which I think, you know, fingers crossed, but who knows. I'm glued to Succession, but, you know, I don't know when the next season is going to come out, but it doesn't seem like soon. And I'm glued to Succession because I think of it as a documentary, not a drama.
I'll tell you, there's going to be a breakout of original content all over the place with all these different networks, including a lot of networks that have started the last couple of years on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. But two series I'm looking forward to seeing premiere next year. One is The Lord of the Rings. I think this could be a make-or-break show for Amazon. If they make this work, you could see a whole set of Middle-earth shows, J.R.R. Tolkien shows on. They are spending nearly $500 million on this series, and which I believe has a second season attached already. We've been waiting 3 or 4 years for this. It is going to be the most anticipated show, I think, of the year. The other show I'm looking forward to seeing, and there are many, by the way, is The Sandman on Netflix. I've always been a fan of Neil Gaiman's comic and graphic novels on DC. He is involved with this series. We've been waiting 3 or 4 years also for this show. If they make it a combo anti-hero show that's the main character, the Sandman, and the anthology nature of the comics and the graphic novels, they may have a winner. They may have a big winner. I think this is one of the big things. And one project that's under everybody's radar screen, which I hope will become something next year. The wonderful science fiction writer and TV producer Mark Scott Sacree is working on a project called The Showrunners Network. He is working with some of the top science fiction television series producers and show creators, like Rottnest O'Bannon from Farscape, like J. Mouse from Babylon 5, who, by the way, is trying to get that show rebooted before the year is out. He wants to do a set of six new science fiction series. One he's been working on called Space Command, and including a interesting Twilight Zone offshoot called After Midnight, After Twilight, which would be a lot of the Twilight Zone scripts that Rod Serling and Charles Beaumont and Richard Matheson and so many other people did that never got produced. And now that you have the technology to do it, could be really something. So I think the Mark Scott Sacree project, and I hope he'll come on the show next year to talk about it. I think it's got a great chance to make it. And if it does, I think it's going to be a big leap forward for science fiction on television.
Cool. But let's go back to Tolkien for a minute. So Amazon is a funny thing. So, you know, the culture of the Amazon Prime operation is so upside down and so hard to get things greenlit there, and it's impossible to know who's buying. And, I mean, I went through just trying to get a return phone call. Took me 6 months. I think, and, you know, and now Bezos is out. You know, there were some things that Amazon did that seemed like they were more, you know, imagine what the P&L looks like on Amazon Prime. So, you know, if they canceled Amazon Prime tomorrow, how many people, or Prime Video, how many people would cancel their Amazon Prime account? The answer is none, because you need it for shipping. So, you know, they fool around with trying to upgrade you to get you to buy a subscription to a third party. But, you know, some of the shows you have to pay for. But I think the P&L's got to be upside down. I mean, what is that $500 million? How do you do the P&L if you're Amazon on that $500 million and prove, since no one's paying for it and they're all watching it as part of their free shipping, like what's the business model there long term? We know what it is for Netflix.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the ways they might be able to parlay that business model is if A, they involve IMDb TV, which is their ad-supported service, which I think is going to break loose next year. They've got some very exciting projects that are going to premiere next year, and they're already starting to do interactive advertising, incidentally, on IMDb TV. But the other is Twitch. They could involve Twitch as well, which they own. And by the way, I think Twitch could become an interactive TV service. I'd be real surprised if by the end of next year they don't do it, if Amazon does not do that, because I think they could really expand what Twitch can do with interactive TV. Roblox also, independently owned, could also be a possible interactive TV service too. But I think Amazon, if they bring Twitch into the game, IMDb in some way in the game, that might be a way they could pay the bills, if you will.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably right. I think that's right. And by the way, you know, they've left Twitch pretty much on its own. They haven't meddled with it much. Most people over the age of whatever the age is, but it's not that old, don't know what Twitch is. Twitch is massive. Twitch is massive and impressive.
Yeah.
I guess the question that I would ask is this, you know, how much is I mean, this is why we should talk about TikTok for a minute, because you know, TikTok became the number one website on the web this year from a cold start, from nobody knew what it was. And it's a bit of a confusing service, because until you teach TikTok what your interests are, it seems a little random and short and a little bit like Blipbird. But the numbers don't lie. I mean, the sheer volume of video consumption on TikTok is extraordinary. And by the way, on Facebook as well, you know, all those short little videos that say you're not going to believe what happens next, I mean, people are consuming them. They're quite addictive, and the volume is massive. And that's why, and in some ways, that's, I mean, you can see the beginnings of, you know, for those of your listeners who remember my history, I mean, when we did MTV Unfiltered back in the day, it was under the thesis that the audience wanted to make television. That was the this was before YouTube. We were like, the audience wants to be in the maker business. And so I look at TikTok, and I see the roots of what we believed a long time ago coming true, which is you give people the tools, and they get excited about not just watching TV, but making it. And isn't that interactive?
And now,
isn't that exactly what you think?
And now, Steve, TikTok is becoming a smart TV service. It's on LG, it's on Samsung, it's on other smart TV sets and devices. And I'd be very curious when TikTok does their next digital content new front, which probably will be in person, everything willing, in May or late April, whether they will mention television as part of their thing. Steve, before we let you go, I'd like to give you an opportunity to make a prediction on anything in television, whether it's a technology, whether it is a show, whether it is a service to watch. Give us a prediction for TV 2022.
So I've got a couple.
Sure.
And I think that 2022 is going to be a very important year. I think, you know, you have to remember things happen in cycles, right? So, you know, if you were on the internet back in the early days, everyone was like, oh, I don't want to put my credit card on the internet. I don't want to spend, you know, everyone was all nervous about it. So now that's gone. I think that the real showdown that happens in 2022 is between paid services and advertiser-supported services. And I think that, I'm a believer that at the end of the day, paid wins. People like control. They like choice. They like betting on. Like they don't mind. I could see people paying for shows. I think advertising. You know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. You know, when we used to have, you know, TiVo. I mean, the great thing about TiVo was you'd record all your shows and you'd go and sit down to watch them and you'd skip the ads. And now, that's actually gotten significantly harder. TiVo's. We bailed on TiVo a bunch of years ago. And we have a DVR, but jumping ahead is kind of sloppy. It doesn't really work that well, and the scanning's not great. I would be happy to pay. And I do not like these Hulu deals where it's paid and you still get ads. Like, to me, that's too confusing. I'd be more than happy to – I'd rather just – and I know I can, but then the price seems too high for no ads. I'd like to see, like – the quality television that we all want and deserve go into more of a paid format. And I think that that would be better for creators as well. I think the movie business is coming to a very, very tough fork in the road. I think, you know, theaters, I don't see the theater business booming back. It's, you know, the cost differential between watching a TV on your flat screen in your living room and going and watching it, you know, in, you know, at AMC and for a bucket of popcorn. I get that people think the big event movies will still be in theaters, but I don't think that keeps that business alive. So I think theaters are going to be on a downslide. I think you're going to see a downslide in advertiser-supported television, and I think you're going to see more and more subscription, both shows and networks.
That's some really amazing predictions. Well, for me, I've got three. One, no matter what happens with interactive television in terms of scripted content, unscripted content, so on and so forth, I think interactive advertising and interactive commerce is going to break loose, and that may be ending up being the savior of advertising on television. Here's why. I think there is a crisis in terms of broadcast and cable television. The one reason why the ratings are going down is because too many commercial breaks, too much advertising in those breaks. In watching the ESPN bowl games the last couple of weeks, ice and college football, you are seeing far too many timeouts being extended because of 3 to 5 minute advertising breaks. And that's got to stop. And the hope is with interactive advertising and commerce that you can have, let's say, 1 minute breaks. Do your thing with a minute, and at the same time, if you want to find out more information about a product, you use your voice to call up information on the screen or order the product in some way, shape, or form. That's one. Two, I think next year is an important year for next-gen television, the ATSC 3.0 format. We now have TV stations in 50 markets, latest being Los Angeles, having it, but I think they've got to start moving, and the movement has to move next year. And finally, on the content side, I believe by this time next year, if WarnerMedia, Warner Brothers and Discovery merge, I think you will see a Harry Potter television series, a Harry Potter scripted series, or a Fantastic Beasts series, something from J.K. Rowling, go into production. I think Harry Potter's got to be a TV franchise.
When you say if they merge, do you think there's a chance that the FTC won't allow the merger to go through?
I think they'll allow it. I think they will go in. I think the merger will happen. And even if it doesn't, I think HBO Max could definitely, with Warner Brothers, with the power of that studio and those resources, I think they could put a Harry Potter show in production or a Fantastic Beasts show in production. But those two franchises are just begging for a TV adaptation.
Here's the question. Where do you think Jason Keelar ends up?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Where do you think Jason Keelar ends up?
Oh, I don't know. But whatever company he decides to get involved with will be much the better for it. He's a super talent.
Yeah, I think he may stay. I'm not so, everyone said he's out the door, but I'm not sure he's out the door. I mean,
I hope you're right, because I think he's done a wonderful job with Warner Media, and I think he can do even better on it with Zaslav by his side. We'll see what happens.
If you want more details
about the New York City Media Lab and the great things it's up to, TV and otherwise, here's where you go online, www.nycmedialab.org. That's www.nycmedialab.org. And let's hope that next year your annual conference becomes in person again. It was a pleasure a couple of years ago
that
you were doing our show from there. We learned about Verizon 5G and what they're doing with TV in their lab. So I hope it comes back, and I think it will. Steve Rosenbaum, Executive Director of the Lab, thank you again for joining us. A very happy new year, the greatest ever to you and your organization. And let's do this again like 6 months from now.
Thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome, Steve. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye-bye.
Steve Rosenbaum, Executive Director of the NYC Media Lab, joining us here in New York. In a moment, some thoughts about John Madden and the top five episodes you enjoyed the most this year. First, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Yes, Christmas and Kwanzaa and so forth may be over, holiday season. However, there is a nice Christmas tale that's worth your listening to as you get into 2022. It's called There's Something About Mary by Cody Hall. And you can get that with a trial subscription to Amazon, to Audible.com, which is part of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible.com, now than ever, more than ever before, is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, whenever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and our various podcast affiliates. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, a one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, the aforementioned, and you also get health and wellness information while it lasts. Plus, if you decide to go right ahead and become a Audible.com member, your first 3 months, $5.95, way off the always monthly price. And remember, if you decide to stay with the trial, you can get one free audiobook if you're an Amazon Prime customer already. And that audiobook can come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals, everything from original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway or Broadway Regional Theater, great one woman and one man performance. So for all that, give it a try. Audibletrial.com/televised makes a great gift anytime this coming year. As you know, earlier this week we had our Tomorrow Be Televised Remembers, our annual celebration of the people in front and behind the TV camera who passed away this past year. Our opening subject was Irv Cross, the former analyst on the NFL Today, who with Brent Musburger and Phyllis George made the best pre-game show on television, football and otherwise. Well, another reason why NFL football continues to be a top-rated show was John Madden. He is the only commentator that went on CBS, NBC, Fox, and ABC. And no matter where he went, whether his partner was Pat Summerall or Al Michaels or whoever, he always did the job. John Madden made and changed, transformed, really, the whole way people watch football. Why? Because he didn't dumb down the sport. He talked in plain English, and he had fun. He was engaging. He was entertaining. When a pigeon was on the field at a critical point in a football game, he talked about the pigeon and how well it did and how he moved this way and that way down the field. It was a delight. And, of course, John Madden made the video game of football great with his always annual Madden Electronic Arts games. John Madden, no matter what network he went for, always did great, always did it all. He passed away at the age of 85. I'm really happy that Before he passed away on Christmas Day, Fox did that wonderful special, A Football Life, about his great career on and particularly away from the field. John Madden was 85. He leaves behind a wonderful family, and he drives millions of devoted followers, and more importantly, a great new way that the game was presented to you, the viewer. You know, I was watching yesterday the Peach Bowl with Mark Jones and Robert Griffin III, who I think is the best new college football commentator. In many ways, he reminds me of John Madden because he makes the game fun. He makes it entertaining, and he doesn't dumb down what's going on the field for your engagement. You can thank John Madden for that. And a lot of other commentators, too, who are following his footsteps to make the game of football fun for you. Last year on this program, we ended our final episode with the top five shows that you liked the most based on the number of replays on Blog Talk Radio. Well, here we go again. In the number fifth position, our January 22nd episode, which had the Netflix glassblowing series Blown Away, the new smart TV service at the time, Fabutainment, and the executive producers of the CW series Two Sentence Horror Stories. In the fourth place, our January 25th episode, 3 days later, about the Louisiana Film Channel, the Project Crap Queens, and our salute to CNN talk show giant Larry King. In third position, our April 12th episode about Screen Hits TV, one of the blockchain cryptocurrency ventures trying to make new TV series happen, Starport, and Saints and Sinners, the Bounce TV series with their executive producer. Second place, a tie, February 12th, the Hulu series, The Hunters Anthology, and the series America's Next Big Thing. And our September 3rd episode about Radar 2021 and the Sesame Street documentary on HBO Max, Street Gang. And our big one, the one you like the most, from October 22nd, we talked about UMAX.TV, the 5G-powered multi-channel bundle. It still is the only one that's 5G-powered. And by the way, they've got some very exciting plans for 2022. I looked on their website last night. And Isabella Raftery, the head of Canela Media, the fast-growing Spanish-language service, and their new service at the time, Canela Music. And there you have it, the top five Tomorrow Be Televised episodes for 2021. And I want to let you know that on Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our classic trivia segment comes back with a brand new question for you, and we have five prizes in play. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, at simonapple04@yahoo.com. You don't get a win by the end of Monday afternoon. We'll post the question Tuesday on Facebook and on Twitter. Don't forget, Monday, our first episode of 2022 with Mike West, the executive producer of American Greed, Doug Holloway of UKW Media, and for American Ninja Warrior on NBC, executive producer Brian Richardson and upcoming contestant Anthony Trust. And next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, Katie Wells, Jenny Snyder-Roman, and Joanna Klein, the executive producer of the new CBS drama series that premieres next week, Good Sam, and one of the executive producers of the Discovery Channel reboot, Dirty Jobs, with Mike Rowe as host. That comes back on Sunday night. And we want to let you know that if you missed any of today's episodes, you want to catch up on any of our episodes you missed all year, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast available on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal and Reason. We also have our special website, Tomorrow Be Televised, at podsite.io. And we'd love to hear from you, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. We do respond within 24 hours. Whatever you use to communicate with me, we communicate back, because what you say matters. Because of our last show, an extended round of thank yous to so many people. Thank you to all of the hundreds of guests that were on this program all year long. Thank you to all the PR people at the various networks and services and ventures that made it all possible. Thank you to our originating place, Blog Talk Radio, for the great editorial freedom and great support of this show over the last nearly 14 and a half years. Thank you to all of our podcast affiliates, the iRadio Podcast Network, now ending our third year with us, going to fourth year next week. And our newest podcast release this year, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal and Reason. And thank you to the wonderful folks at Podsite.io and Guitarist Binkus and his gang for making our new website. Thank you to our sponsor all year long, Audible.com. Thank you to my family, mom and dad, brother Gary, sister Stephanie, and their family and siblings for the great support. Thank you to the wonderful organization that I am have been part of for now 27 years, Landmark Worldwide, the folks behind the Landmark Forum. It was a great year for Landmark Online, reaching so many people, hundreds of thousands of people around the world, and celebrating their 30th anniversary, where over the last three decades, more than 3 million people have taken the Landmark Forum and other courses that have transformed the quality of their lives. If you want more information about Landmark, and I hope this coming year you do the Landmark Forum, if you haven't done already, all you got to do is go to landmarkworldwide.com and find the Landmark Center operating online where you are. And finally, thanks to all of you our wonderful listeners, whether it's been today or any time this year or over the nearly 14 and a half years our program has been on the air. This, by the way, is the 1,399th episode of our show. On Monday, episode 1,400, with probably over 2,000 guests over the course of that time, and that doesn't include the guests that we've had on in the 2 years before we got on Blog Talk Radio. From 2007-2009 on NowLive.com. Thank you all. You make this show work. Thank you for your suggestions, your criticisms, your critiques, whether you do them by email, by social media. And I just have a request for you. If you like what you hear, be with us next year. Encourage people to tune in live and also have them use our chat room and call in. This show is out to be interactive with you. The idea is to bring the people that make TV matter for you to matter with them. So I hope that you encourage your fellow folks to tune in next year because it's going to be one incredible year. And I invite you to be along for the ride with us. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website maintenance is provided by PodSite, the Internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator is Guitarist Vegas. Larby Televised is brought to you today and all year long by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. Remember, for a limited time only, if you become a subscriber to Audible.com, it's $5.95 for the first 3 months of your subscription per month, and that's way off the regular price. So it makes a great gift for you or anyone you love anytime during the upcoming year. For more, go to Audible.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening today and all year round. And before I leave you, I want to give you some thoughts from Bob Dylan and a song he did back in the 1960s that I first heard on a variety show program. May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb up every one. And may you stay forever young. We'll be back on Monday, first Monday of 2022, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and our podcast affiliates, the iRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, next year, stay well and stay tuned.